Okay. Whew! All right. Yeah, get that out of your system. Okay. Welcome back to another episode of Brain Scramblies, your favorite What We Do in the Shadows rewatch podcast. I'm Claire.
I'm Carson.
I'm Richie.
And I'm Matt.
And this week we've watched What We Do in the Shadows Season 5, Episode 4, entitled The Campaign. But before we go to our Richie recap, we have a couple shout-outs of emails that we got. Shout-out to Paige and Marina for emailing in. If you want a shout-out at the beginning of the show, email us at brainscramblingspod@gmail.com. And now, I think, it's time for the Richie recap.
Let's get Richie to recap.
I think Richie should do it. Richie can try.
Richie, what did they do in the shadows this week?
Okay. Richie recap this week. So we started this episode, we find out that Sean has no longer in the race for the comptroller for Staten Island. His place has been taken by Colin Robinson, everybody's favorite energy vampire. So throughout the episode, we see Colin Robinson working his campaign, go through some roadblocks, which we will discuss a little bit later. At the same time, Nandor finds out that Guillermo's busy, since he doesn't really know what he's doing. He's trying to figure out whether or not I can become a vampire. Guillermo's busy with that. So Nandor's trying to find new friends. He finds one at the gym named Alexander, and in this episode, Nandor kind of goes through this, like, Jewish arc, which is really interesting, really funny. so he does that. He basically finds a friend, though, so the plot for him this episode is finding a new friend and trying to maintain that, even though he always has issues because he's a little antisocial and is still from, 15th century modern-day Iran, so he doesn't always line up for hanging out with modern dudes. While Colin Robinson is on his campaign, he finds out that, like, for campaigns, he might need to have someone who appears to be, like, his wife. So people vote for him, so he reconnects with season one favorite Evie, played by Vanessa Bayer from SNL. So they get back together, at least for the campaign, and kind of in real life as well get back together. Meanwhile, Nadja is hanging with her little friends now and little Auntie Paxos. She's gotten close to them. They become kind of a little family, as she refers them to. She wants to have Laszlo meet all of her friends now and little Auntie Paxos. As you can imagine, that goes pretty awkwardly. We'll probably discuss on that a little bit later about Laszlo's specific behaviors. And then, kind of to wrap it up, I won't, end any of the storylines, I guess, but we get some energy vampire lore, which we haven't really gotten much before, so I'm sure we'll want to dive into that. Specifically, I'm sure Claire will want to dive into that. But kind of a Richie recap, kind of a preview of the episode of what we're going to talk about, but it will at least fill the segment. So, Richie recap there.
Woo! Good recap, Rich.
Thank you.
Sorry, my friend's calling me. I have to tell her that I'm recording a podcast right now.
God, how embarrassing, Claire.
Sorry, it's too far. No, Claire, please answer and have her come on the podcast. Say hi.
Yeah.
I already declined the call. Okay.
So funny.
My initial thought for this episode was that there's a lot of season one throwbacks. Like you were saying, Rich, we get Evie back and we get my fan favorite, Barbara Lazaro back from Staten Island City Council from season one. Delighted by that.
Or as Lazo says, Barbara Lazaro, which I think has a good flow to it. It scans well.
It took me an embarrassingly long time to realize that was season one Barbara Lazaro. It was like the end of the episode where I was like, that name really rings a bell. And I had to look it up.
One episode. Like, it's kind of insane that they got her back specifically for this.
But it's great continuity, though.
It is good.
It is.
Yeah. I think it would have hit the same if it was like some new person.
Overall thoughts on the episode? ? Or do you want to say that for the end? You liked?
Okay.
I think this is the weakest of the episode weakest of season four for me. Season five so far.
Yes. I also agree with that.
Not because it's necessarily bad, but just I think the specific plot threads don't necessarily land as well.
I think if you put this in any other season, it would be an outstanding episode.
I just think that's the quality of
this
the
feels
season
like a season
we've been
two.
Having so far.
Doesn't it feel like a season two episode?
It's for sure a season two episode.
Yeah.
You get the season one throwbacks.
Yeah. It's you know what it is for me? Is it the idea is a lot simpler. than, okay, I mean, last episode we have fucking Nandor going into outer space, and Paul Robinson getting fucked by Laszlo because he's fused into the body of Nadja. And then this one is just like, hey, you remember how energy vampires are boring? The entire premise of the episode, which is funny, but it's like you're saying, it's much more like a season one, season two episode where they haven't gotten like super insane yet.
I think this episode's a great example of how, you know how we complain about sometimes we're like, oh, like it's a little too episodic and like they don't really deal. It's like a little bit too much based on bits. I think this was a good blend where like we heard about the comptroller thing previously. We have people from previous episodes, but then like this will likely not come back. This was just funny.
I was going to say, there's some like pretty massive developments in the last episode. Like Laszlo find out that he could be like a daywalker. Like that's pretty huge. Just no mention of it. Just this episode, never. No continuation. At least for this episode, at least. Maybe I'm sure they'll go back and reference that in future episodes for the season, but at least for this one, that kind of just happened.
I know the only hint we get at the broader plot is a little bit in the Nandor-Guillermo plotline, because the genesis of this is that Guillermo is kind of avoiding Nandor because he doesn't want to spill the beans about the fact that he's a vampire. But that's really the only taste of like the overarching plot that we get in this episode at all.
Did you guys notice, or have you noticed, I think I mentioned this last episode, that it feels like the budget increased for the show?
So much. Yeah.
Yes. Like, I feel like other it was locations, really, really on display here. Like, the cameras all look better. The costumes look better. The lighting looks better. Just something about it. It doesn't look as flat anymore. Like, they...
Laszlo's costume, when he, the first time he goes into Antipaxos, specifically, I think is incredible.
Very good. No.
That outfit shows an increased budget for sure.
Yeah, that's a Love Island fit, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, it really feels like they went to like a thrift shop and pulled like the first thing they could find off the rack. But it's hilarious.
They just typed in lads into Amazon.com and found whatever popped up first.
I'm absolutely sure there was significantly more effort that went into it, but still.
The fact that it looks so cobbled together is a testament to the amazing Laura Montgomery costume design. So.
Oh, did you know that, or did you just look that up?
Little name shout.
I actually weirdly did. Let me double check if that's true, but I think I knew that off the top of my head.
How funny would that be if they fired her?
Yeah, it is person. Laura Montgomery.
Oh, okay, shout. Okay, yeah. Okay, good.
I follow her on Instagram, anyway.
Oh.
She like won or was nominated for an Emmy for one. I don't remember.
Oh, anyway. Wow.
She's a big deal. Do we want to proceed linearly through the plot? I don't know why I'm asking. We're going to do that. Okay. Oh. It's my villain arc. Fuck you guys. We're going to proceed linearly.
Post-snap Claire is different. I don't like
post-snap
her.
Post-snap Claire takes command. Yeah. Anyway, that's why I always sleep before I have sex.
Bozinga.
Okay, let's go. Little pre. Anyway,
I beg. That's got to be the cold open to the episode. Like that's got to be the tag.
let's put that out. Let's not put that in there. Okay. So the way that we get to the comptroller race with Colin Robinson in it is that apparently Sean had to bow out because he had more than 9 DUIs. So that's a good bit. Also, them slagging off Staten Island left and right, they're like, yeah, normally people only have 2 to 3 in this role.
Well, I love the fact that, I think we were talking about it earlier, it was like that they're calling back to like previous episodes, so you're getting the comptroller race from the previous episode, you're also getting the DUIs from episode 2, where it's clear that Sean likes to have a good time, you know?
I have 2 little notes from this opening scene that I found very delightful. One of which is that I like that the Colin Robinson campaign posters and signs are the most boring color combination ever. They're so beige. It's very good. And also, Sean calls him Bobby Robinson, which I think is fucking choice.
I thought it was Robbie Robinson.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Is it Robbie Robinson?
Is it Robbie Robinson? I had to double check because they thought he said Robbie Robertson, like the singer from the band.
I thought this was some like McGurk effect thing that like Claire like saw him go buh, and so she thought he said Bobby.
I for whatever reason I don't have the captions on Hulu right now, which I normally do, so maybe it's affecting my processing.
Did you also like Colin Robinson's slogan for his campaign? I'm fallen for Colin.
That's really good.
He also later calls his supporters colonizers.
Yeah, that was crazy. That's crazy. Yeah.
I'm a little embarrassed to admit that didn't click with me at first. I thought I was like missing out on something. I thought they were just calling them colonizers. And they're like, yeah, like they're all chill with those. I don't know.
Based Colin Robinson.
It's whenever he makes a terrible pun, like Seaman, like it just really gets me. I find it very funny every time. I also love that Colin was visibly annoyed by Sean, which is very funny because he is an energy vampire. So like, how is that possible? But
I mean, it's also crazy how Sean seemed to better understand how to run a campaign than Colin. Like, when they had that little montage of him, like, at the construction site or something, he's like, Colin, don't do that. What are you doing?
The construction site? Like, two things that I completely do not understand, or two things that I noticed. Like, one, the look on the guy's face that's getting his, shirt pulled up and touched. I don't know if you guys caught it, but he's just, like, dead looking to the camera, and he's, like, so over it.
Didn't I don't zoom know if in it was an one, extra. But
I don't know if
did.
They got an actor. I don't know. But, like, it's very funny. And then, two, I'm just so confused into what scenario could there possibly be for Carl Robinson to be lifting up his shirt and asking them to touch it. And I really want to hear your best guess, because I do not know.
Carson, I really, really hope that all of your notes and research this episode are just on this one, like, 12-second shot. And you're like, I know where they filmed it. I know who this guy was. I have theories.
I did not look this up, unfortunately.
Oh.
But I'm very curious if you guys can come up with a scenario in which Colin Robinson was lifting his shirt.
He said something while he was doing it, but I can't remember what he said.
It was they were talking over it. Like, it was completely irrelevant to the
you didn't even hear
the audio.
The only thing I can think of is that, like, campaign wise, it thematically echoes like when people are weird and touch pregnant ladies' bellies, but there's no real connective tissue there. It's just sort of like parallel worlds. I don't know.
I'm trying to imagine a conversation. Is there such thing as, like, a builder's tan? Is that a thing?
Probably,
builder's tan, but, like, maybe it's like, oh, I don't have a builder's tan. This is the most abstract conversation I could possibly think of for this. But I'm just trying to piece this together for Carson.
We're actively writing fanfiction, like, on the pod right now. Yeah. Whip up AO3.
If anyone writes that, credit me for that. Credit it for me. Credit me. Builder's tan is definitely not a thing.
I mean, they're outside.
Also, yeah, Colin also asks a baby, can she vote? And then withdraws the campaign flyer from it when the person says no.
When he takes it back, he says, wait, yeah, Carson, yeah, you got it?
No, you go.
He says, I'd rather lay it on the ground than it go into her hands. Just so funny.
Should we talk about Nandor finding out that Jewish people are in New York?
Massive thing.
Amazing. I just love that he is shirtless in the gym.
It's a good callback to the previous gym episode.
Is it?
Season 3 or 4?
Is it the same gym? Do we know?
I don't think it is. He got banned from that other one.
Yeah, I was going to say, he burned his bridges to that gym.
Yeah, he probably this one too. He started exposing himself.
So he says this line. So he finds out this guy is Jewish. He says, you are Jewish, and then pregnant pause. He says, very cool. And that pause, I was like, oh boy. Yeah. It goes so many different ways.
That was so crazy how, like, Nandor started, like, speaking, like, Yiddish. He had, like, little, like, Yiddish terms he'd throw in.
Yes.
Of course, classic line. I had no idea there were Jews in New York City.
It's very good.
The little Guillermo looking at the camera like, oh God. I think they had Guillermo play us in the show where he was like, oh Jesus, like, what is he about to say? And his takeaway is that they're good warriors.
I also want to shout out that so Guillermo has been avoiding Nandor, and Nandor says that it's been hard physically and emotionally. Aww.
Second episode in a row, he said something vulnerable about his relationship with Guillermo.
And then they have the mid-credits scene in this one, so yeah, there's a lot going on.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, there's something's going to happen at the end of the season.
Something's up.
I feel it coming.
Good prediction, Cars.
Thanks, Matt.
For the next segment, I entitled it Colin Needs a Wife, after the classic show Farmer Needs a Wife.
Farmer Wants a Wife. We never finished watching that, Claire.
We did not. We watched like three episodes.
Oh, I was so entranced with those folk.
We need to get back on it.
Maybe we can just start watching Golden Bachelor instead.
Wait, sorry. Can we give a shout out on our massively popular podcast to what's the name of that guy who does the chicken sandwich review? My podcast is now. What's his name? God.
Wait, guys. I'm about to send you a video I sent Claire earlier today. Rich, did you see this?
Is it Popeyes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you watch that video?
I saw a tweet saying, how does this only have like 20,000 views or something like that? But I didn't see the actual video, but I know
it's
this man.
Incredible.
Vaguely.
It's unreal. I encourage everyone to go look up the YouTube channel Joe is Hungry and just witness. He also has other YouTube channels where he does other things, such as build a lawnmower. The production quality of these things is through the roof.
It's insane.
It's just him.
He has like a GoPro on the outside of his car. He always at all times has three camera angles. It's like if Colin Robinson had high production value. That's what this is. Like, it's really
crazy.
Good.
Crazy.
That's great. So Colin needs wife. Colin gets wife. And Evie.
Yep.
Did you notice? I don't know who watches Ted Lasso. I think you've seen Ted Lasso, right?
I saw the believe sign on the chalkboard. They also had a sign that said single equals free, because it was like a single support group. Uh-huh. So it just felt like a very like band-aided version of mental health care. They were just like
the quote leading into that, into the scene, was like, you just have to accept that they're never coming back to sweep you off your feet. And then Colin walks immediately into the room.
Oh, that's so good.
I loved it so much. I thought it was so good.
I love their rapport. They immediately start feeding off of each other and the group entirely. And
they're not good for each other.
I have to imagine a lot of that is just like they have pretty good chemistry and understand what it means to be, you know, playing an energy vampire. Claire, what's her name? Vanessa Bayer, is that her name, that plays Evie? Is she the one from that I Think You Should Leave clip that you sent me?
Coworker can line for line quote in attack did in the cafeteria like a week ago.
What is it like?
What is this clip?
Oh, is Ethan there? Does he want to come and explain the clip?
Yeah, Ethan's obsessed with it. Do you want to quote it, Eve?
Eating pig shit with my horse dick breasts.
Thank fun.
We should watch it. It's really good.
I just hear this like ephemeral voice. It's just go eat shit with your horse dick breasts.
Is ephemeral a new slur for a twink?
Tickled my eardrums.
Ephemeral or effeminate? Interesting. Anyway.
I didn't understand why Colin just starts quoting movies at her as he's talking. Is that just
Love
like an annoying dumb thing to do?
Brokeback Mountain and Titanic, yeah.
Yes.
He did that in the initial season, the episode they had in season one, where they're having that like battle across the room, and Colin Robinson's just like naming movies.
I remember. Oh, yeah. He does, yes. Yeah.
So I guess it's like a recall from that. That's but like, even then, like, I don't know who he's like doing it for, because of like, I don't know who's like draining you without the context of that, really.
I think it's like, just like a shitty person thing to do.
I think it's like he has no idea of romance, and so he just watches all these movies, and he's like, I don't know, like they do that in the movies. So, but he forgets that he doesn't have to cite his sources. Wow. So like, every time he like
this in Brokeback Mountain. So.
He does the MLA citation. He's like Brokeback Mountain 2005 in parentheses. Yeah.
Based Colin Robinson watching Brokeback Mountain.
Legend. Classically the happiest of love stories.
I mean, he was just fucked by Laszlo like two episodes ago, last episode. Anyway.
I like the song that they play for the two of them. It's called Little Sad Eyes by the Castells. And they played it in the previous episode that Evie was in, and it's like that little kind of moaning sad. I don't know. You know it if you heard it, but I think it fits somehow. Curse, what were you saying?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, my other note was, this Colin is not the same Colin that was like had a fling with Evie, right? This is like the creature that crawled out of Colin Robinson's chest. I know he had the diaries and memories. Yeah. But, like, they didn't really have a fling, did they? I mean, I guess it's philosophical.
Yeah, it's if you replace a Colin Robinson one by one, is it the same Colin Robinson?
Exactly. The classic philosophical conundrum.
And then we get to the Nadja plotline, which, impressive that they're trying to fit three plot lines in here. And I always think they're all pretty good. And, like, they don't even interact with each other, the plot lines. And I'm okay with that. I just think that they're, like, funny. And that's fine. That they're taking each vampire and being like, what if we put them in a situation? And that's the plot. But I'm amazed that Nadja, like, still believes this curse is after her. Because I feel like that's going to be her and the guide's denouement, is when she comes, or she finds out that that's just, like, the guide made that up to make a friend. Who, by the way, was not in this episode, but they just had someone standing in for her in the, like, house meeting at the beginning of the episode. It was just the back of someone's head with a blonde wig.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really? I don't know if you noticed that. Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah. So she's around, I guess.
I didn't notice that at all.
Well, good. I mean, good on the production team then. I want to know who that was. They know everything.
The guy just standing. Did they quote them in the, I mean, credit them in the credits?
I don't know.
Yeah, it is kind of sweet that she's just, like, hanging out with this family and little Antipaxos. Like, kind of wholesome.
She keeps having to refuse food from them as well, which I'm like, oh, that's kind of sad. She's like, no, I already ate.
Yeah. I guess she can only go over at night, so.
Yeah.
Everything she makes gets weirder and weirder and weirder as it just goes on. You know, like, she, like, is making a salad and putting plastic straws in and then puts a creamer on.
Oh.
And she brings it to the table and she pours coffee over it.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
She doesn't understand human food.
I also love that Nandor walking in, it's like, he walks in and he gives his whole, like, soliloquy about how you have to learn the people that you're going to meet. And, like, he knows all about their culture. And then he goes, do you people have names or do you communicate with sticks? And I was like,
Laszlo walking in. Yeah.
Sorry, Laszlo. Did I say Nandor?
Yeah.
It'd be funnier if Nandor walked in.
Rich, do you remember what the shirt was that he was wearing, what it said?
Yeah, it said 4 score and 7 beers ago.
Got him.
And he had like a bucket.
He wore that so he could. Yeah, he wanted to become like an island boy. Like one of the island boys. Who, by the way, news have come out about the island boys. Little tangent.
Island boys.
So I saw like a video on Twitter, not voluntarily, of one of the island boys kissing the other island boy, and one of the island boys just came out as gay.
No way.
What?
Was that how they came out?
Or is that one of them came out, I guess? I don't know.
The other one? Sorry, the island boys are... They're not related or anything, right?
No, they're brothers.
Okay.
Huh?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Complicates the situation.
I thought they were, but then you said that, and I was like, nah.
Yeah, it was supposed to be strange, Matt. Yeah.
Man, I hope everyone who's listening to this was also online, like, 2 years ago, and remembers this fad.
Island boy.
Remember the island boys? They're gay and incestuous now.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, Laszlo becomes an island boy, which is funny because he is an island boy himself. But
God, that's such a good point, actually.
Whoa.
If you think about it, geography. Leave it to Rich to bring up the geography facts.
We then move almost immediately away from that plot line and back to Nandor's. They do a lot of jumping around. And it's Nandor at the movies with Alexander. And the guy who plays Alexander is perhaps the most normal person I've ever seen on a TV show. Where he's just like, I don't fucking know. I'm just at the movies. I don't know. But I did pick up on a fun little Easter egg. I don't know if anyone else saw this. That the movies that were playing at the theater were Taika Waititi's films, Eagle versus Shark and Hunt for the Wilder People. You can see it on the scroll in the background of one shot.
Aw, I didn't. So, that's so cute.
I did point that out on the Reddit and I got an upvote, so.
Wow.
I was like 3 days late, but.
I am on that man's IMDb.
Carson, what the fuck did you just say?
Sorry. Carson, your voice sounded crazy just now.
Did you just go underwater? Sounded like the
Babadook.
No, I'm sorry. I do not have Wi-Fi. My internet connection is not good.
I like that Alexander describes Nandor as harmless and kind of lonely. Aw.
Yeah. Sad. They're just really sad.
Yeah.
Also incorrect.
Actor who plays Alexander, just throwing this out there, was an actor in the King of Staten Island.
So. No fucking way! What? Yo, crossover. Oh my god.
Yeah. Apparently he wrote for like SNL too, and stuff like that, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
A lot of SNL heavy hitters here.
We also learned some Nandor lore.
For one episode. Sorry. Yeah.
We learned some Nandor lore that he went to the first movie showing, which was the train coming at the screen that has that like myth about it that people jumped out of the way.
Yeah.
I think that's a charming way of making it known that Nandor understands what a movie is, where sometimes I feel like they're like, what is this technology?
Moving pictures. Yeah.
I say.
Yeah, he knows what a movie is, but he definitely doesn't know movie etiquette, which is shown in the show.
Well, I mean, kind of, but then later he like yells at Guillermo for trying to talk in a movie.
He learns.
I need to see Nandor in like the theater getting ready to see Barbie, wearing like his Barbie outfit in all pink.
Oh my god.
It's like, I am so Ken.
Yeah. Yeah. God, I want Nandor to be wearing an I am Knuff sweater next season.
Yeah. He'd be so into it. This actually, okay, Nandor going to the, like, having seen a very early movie reminds me of, like, kind of a strange point that I haven't thought of until now, which is that the vampires, I feel like, are very tethered in their original time period. But, like, why is that? Because they've been around now for, you know, several hundred years. Like, you would think they would latch onto, like, I don't know, other time periods, like, have learned things or learned technology, but they seem to be very rooted in their original time frame.
Well, as I understand it, it's been, that was, like, a theme in some of the, like, mid-20th century vampire lore, that the vampire, like, can't go out at night and can't socialize, and so they get stuck, like, in whatever time, basically, that they were... like turned, and the idea being that it's supposed to be supposed to show like their isolation as like a tragic figure, as opposed to this being a monster.
Aw, that's actually very sad.
Some literary analysis.
Didn't expect you to have an answer for that. I'm impressed. All right, well,
I mean, that could also be wrong. I don't want to.
No, that seems right. We'll just accept it.
We'll just blindly accept it. We're experts, don't you know, Matt?
Yeah.
Ostensibly. Yikes. One person has said we're an expert. Can we move on to the Colin Robinson debate? Because I love it a lot.
Please. The 5-hour long debate.
I love it so much. A, because I've been to a lot of boring meetings in my life. B, because I was an AV tech in college for 2 years. And the amount of people who don't know how to use a microphone is like really good. So he immediately like peaks the audio really bad. He like drops all of his notes. He makes up that he has two children, one of whose name he just like simply cannot pronounce.
I can't remember.
He speaks for, if you look on the recording, from 7:20 p.m. to 10:27 p.m. is just Colin speaking.
Holy shit. I really liked actually his first line, which was when Barbara Lazaro said, say goodbye to paperwork, and he said, say hello to anarchy, you're clapping for an anarchist, which I think is such like a classic kind of like setup to like a local community debate of just like, it was almost like a libertarian debate where they're just like,
yeah,
they're just like, oh, you want me to have a driver's license?
So many favorite lines from the Colin Robinson debate.
100%.
Yeah. What's yours, Cars?
The Emmer effing machine. They just keep going to the machines, and then I think Evie stands up and chimes in that it also ran over her foot.
Yeah.
She, and like, then she limps to the away. Back of the room. Yeah.
What was yours, Rich?
I think just the repetition of full of the Dickens.
Yeah. The Dickens.
I mean, These two, like made-up children, or just full of the Dickens. He said it, Evie said it. I don't know, it's a good line. Underused word. Or phrase, I guess.
I liked when he said that his children smell of beef stew, as all young children do. That feels like a Claire line.
I just like that he literally is incapable of pronouncing the name Christopher hesitates every time and mispronounces it a little bit differently every time.
Yeah.
It's really good. Also, just like two other C names. He was like, what's kind of like Colin, but not? Connor and Christopher. Okay.
Yeah.
And then they get kidnapped.
Yeah, Colin says, what the hey, as they're being thrown into the van.
This was my second, like, full laugh of the episode, and the ominous white van pulls up, and Colin is like, oh, I guess our Uber is here.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely killed me.
It's so good. Also, the burglars being in all beige, or not burglars, but the kidnappers being in all beige, again.
The entire...
Yes. Oh.
The entire... That whole Energy Vampire Council scene, that was peak comedy for me. Like, that was unreal how funny that was, of them just being total energy vampires to each other. I mean, the cast was insane. You had, like, Hannibal Buress in there, Amparo Nantula, and that lady from the show Baskets. I don't know if you've ever seen that show. But it was just like a selection of, like, very good improv comedians they got. And they... I feel like I gave them almost no direction. They're just like, go. Be beige.
I was very excited to get to some Energy Vampire lore. In my notes, I have, yo, Supreme Council of Energy Vampires, no fucking way. And then a keyboard smash. And then, oh my god, wait, the lore. And then 6 exclamation points. Anyway, so I was pretty excited to see this. And I feel like they didn't really do a ton with that, because I think the whole plot of the last season was, like, basically, we don't know anything about energy vampires. There's, like, not really a community even among the energy vampires. Like, anytime Colin talked to one, it was, like, a very isolated incident. Like, they didn't really have a backstory. We really only had Evie and, like, maybe one other one that we had met. And then we finally find out that they actually have an organization and structure and stuff. But just, like, that didn't really seem to impact anything. I don't know.
Well, I feel like that just wasn't the focus of this episode. It definitely feels like something that, like, we're going to get cut to a shot of Colin Robinson walking down the street. And he's like, I got to go see, like, the Vampire Council, the Energy Vampire Council, and it'll just, like, come back. I feel like it's, yeah, they set it up for more, because that was very funny. So. Yeah.
It was interesting to me that there was an Energy Vampire Council, considering that Colin Robinson sat in on the Staten Island Vampire Council. Mm.
Yes. So I guess, how does he get represented twice?
I'm a little surprised that he somehow qualified to be in the Vampire Council now knowing that there is an Energy Vampire Council, because that seems to be, there's a pretty clear distinction
between all Energy Vampires are vampires, but not all vampires are Energy Vampires.
Oh.
Yeah. Ooh. I guess. Yeah. I wonder, there's the Vampiric Council wants something, and the Energy Vampire Council wants another thing. Like, who gets authority, like, within that, you know?
I mean, I have to imagine the energy vampires would win over, because they can drain the other vampires. Yeah.
Oh, see, to me, I would say the vampires would supersede the energy.
Yeah, but in a bureaucracy situation, that's, like, the wheelhouse for the energy vampires.
Mm. It's their lifeblood, they say.
Yeah.
What do they call it? The gum that clogs the machine of a man or something?
Yeah.
Claire, I feel like what would have gotten you was that the one Energy Vampire Council member with the really quiet audio who kept, like, yelling into the into the microphone.
And the person who couldn't turn their notifications off. Yeah. They were like, what part of settings do I go to?
I'm not sure what operating system you're running.
Yeah, the number of people in my old AV job who just simply, like, didn't know how to turn on a microphone when I had explicitly told them, like, oh, it's off right now because we're trying to save battery, just, like, turn it on, and I would show them the one switch on the microphone. There's one switch. They just wouldn't be able to do it.
I liked how they did this as, like, a it was almost like an in-person equivalent of a Zoom call. Like, they forced the use of those, like, principal in a 2000s.
It's sitting so far apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, why is she quiet? Why wouldn't she just speak louder?
Yeah, why is she quiet? Makes no sense.
It just, they're like, is it the Wi-Fi? And she's like, no, that's not it. I said, no, it's not the Wi-Fi.
There's like the one guy who's into tech, and he's like, that wouldn't possibly impact it.
Yeah. But also, like, are they not draining each other? Are they just feeding off of each other? I was really confused by that. Because, like, Colin Robinson and Evie are clearly like, oh my god, please stop. So I'm wondering, like, are they all feeding off each other? Did you want to talk about the circumcision, yeah. Richard?
So, I have this in my notes. I'm not going to lie. I think I was a little distracted, but I was, like, outside, so I was looking at something else when this scene happened.
What? Sorry, what? Why were you watching this outside?
I just watched this outside because we have a TV on our back porch, which is, like, screened in. It's a nice place to watch. But watching this outside, and then we cut to, like, the point later in the episode where, like, Nandor, like, says something about it. I'm like, wait, Nandor got circumcised. It's like a realization. So I put it in my notes because, like, figuring where it was at some point. But I have it. I have it in my notes, even though I didn't see it. But
I thought you would have lost your mind when Nandor punctuates saying, snip my tip with the large shears.
I don't know what happened there. I think I remember that line, but I think I forgot what happened beforehand. So I thought, that's weird. I don't really know what's in
I feel like that scene was crafted for you, Richard. Oh.
I think what happened there is my neighbors came outside with, like, their dog, so I turned on my volume a lot.
Yep. Oh, okay. Fair. Probably a good scene.
I don't think I could hear it then, but yeah.
You got to go Nandor back and watch it. Going it's in. Real good.
I will. But
absolutely wild that I'm just putting this together, but there are two people that exposed themselves this episode, and that is truly incredible.
What theory is that brought to you, Carson? But
I hope we get more exposing men.
Okay, Island.
Unreal takeaway from Island. That.
Nandor, though, I'm insane that you guys have not mentioned the best line of the episode that Nandor says during the circumcision, which is, here's me in the corner, here's me in the spotlight at my circumcision.
This had Kenergy, to be honest. This was...
It's like, they just wrote that. I just feel like that's not even in character for Nandor to be able to make a good joke. They wrote that, and they were like, yeah, we gotta put that in there.
He also had the really raw line of, how can men be friends when they are so different? And then Guillermo said, you and I are different. And he said, you are, I'm not. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
I don't get it.
You get it, Rich? No. Sigma.
Yeah, I guess Carson mentioned a character exposing himself during this. He'd be in reference to Colin Robinson on the Zoom call with his colonizers. Something I noticed during that, which I'm not sure if everyone picked up on, was when he jumped on the couch with, like, enthusiasm and said, like, yeehaw. He did, like, a Howard Dean style, like, yeehaw. Gosh.
Ethan wanted to talk about this because he was so excited about the Dean scream. I can't believe you beat him to it.
Ew.
No. I'm sorry.
Ethan's sad now.
I remember I was first introduced to the Dean scream at, like, Yale Model Congress, like, when I was a freshman in high school, because, like, Howard Dean, like, just, like, gave a speech Congress. There. Yeah, and then my teacher's like, you know that guy screamed?
if you don't know what this is, should look it up. Ethan made me watch the video, because I didn't know what it was. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I have no idea what the fuck you guys are talking about, but I'll trust you. I
ruined its campaign.
Claire, I feel like you would actually really find it funny.
I'm sure I would. I mean, I don't doubt that for a second.
The Howard Dean scream does remind me of the clip of Ron DeSantis with, like, the bad lip reading where they go, hungry. Similar statue.
Colin Robinson's high energy, like, he basically, like, trying to win the election. His high energy makes me so nervous. I don't
know. It was uncomfortable. I didn't like it.
Yeah. Also, he has two rings on his left hand, and I guess one's the wedding ring, but I didn't know what the other one was. Just a little shout out. Oh my god, wait, guys, I didn't do my Easter egg, which is that, Okay, so when they're trying to convince Colin that he has to win the election, they show this thing on the board.
Oh.
It's basically like an academic paper entitled Hurry Up and Wait, an argument for and statistical review of energy vampire preservation via bureaucracy secured only through victory over Barbara Lazaro in the comptroller race for the borough of Staten Island, one of the five boroughs of New York City. And they do, you can see the text on the screen, like you can read half of it, like most of it, and half of it is like legit about the comptroller, and half of it is just like a copy and paste about like copyright agreements or something that I guess they just used to fill in the text. But it's very good. It starts off with, well, you may have noticed that the word comptroller sounds an awful lot like the word controller. This is not just a funny coincidence.
Anyway. That title reminds me of that psych paper that I'm obsessed with from Danny Oppenheimer. The consequences of erudite vernacular used irrespective of necessity, : problems using long words needlessly. It's like such a prime example of that. Which I obviously did just to annoy people, but... That's a very good paper if anyone wants to read some cognitive psych.
Anyway, that was just a shut up prop. No.
Yeah, hey Carson, no one knows what you do anyway, so.
I don't know what I do either. It's okay.
Wow.
But then Colin says he was just beaten off to everyone's faces and shows everyone his penis.
My jaw was on the floor. Oh, Cock-a-boy. I was shocked. I just did not expect that to happen. And then
the amount that he doesn't give a shit is just like incredible.
Well, but then Evie manages to spin it for her. I just don't get it. Like, I don't know how she manages to like get ahead of it, because like she was clearly in on, like, if he was like beating off to all of these people, right? She was standing right behind him while he was doing it.
Yeah.
So she knew exactly what he was doing. But nobody seems to raise this as an issue.
Makes no sense. But I do like that when they have this sort of like weird apology thing that like Colin has to stand up and do. But he's wearing like a pretty nice suit. And I was like, yo, Colin looking slick. He's got like a pinstripe beige suit. Absolute king.
To throw it back to the very first scene of the episode, the sweater he was wearing when he was with Sean in his office looked very comfortable. And I was like,
it fits this season.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah.
Do
we want to wrap up the Nandor plot line? He shows Alexander his foreskin, and Alexander goes, I got to get out of this fucking city.
To be clear, Claire, he shows Alexander his circumcised penis and says, twins.
Yeah.
Well, his lack of circumcision, it grew back.
It did grow back, yeah.
Just crazy.
He was both too fast and too slow. He was too fast to show his penis to his friend, too slow in that his circumcised, his foreskin grew back.
Too fast to show his penis to his friend.
Okay.
Hey, Carson, what's an appropriate amount of time to wait before you show your penis to your friend?
Hey, I'm
sorry you had to explain that.
Yeah, hey, we're gonna stop recording, and we gotta have a talk, Carson. Like that.
It's at least a month, at least three friend dates.
How long do you think the island boys wait?
Oh, too real, Claire.
Oh my god.
That was insane.
Okay, we also have the Laszlo plot line that is also there. I just want to shout out that
killer
he has
lines.
He has little red highlights in his hair that match Nadja's little red highlights in her hair, and it's really cute.
Yeah. I didn't notice that, and someone pointed it out on Reddit, and I was like, that's kind of bizarre. Why is his hair red?
Yeah, no, they just, the costume designer, Laura Montgomery, has said that she basically just designs their costumes to fit together really well, so.
But I don't think I've ever noticed that before, so I wonder.
I think it's just this.
Yeah,
this
maybe it's just new. I like it, though.
It's cute.
But Laszlo does have some killer lines. So he sings a song that irritates the anti-Paxons, because he basically says death to anti-Paxos, and then he goes back to apologize, and it's... It's an unreal apology where he does not apologize, actually. And I feel like this entire time Richie was just watching, like, taking down notes of what he said.
Yeah, Rich, what did you
think? Three lines.
Yeah?
I have three lines from that. I can speak 14 languages, as long as they are English. I have the part where he says he's a certified master cocksman.
Yes.
Above all. And then I also have, you can go, fuck yourselves. Five Fs.
So good.
If you ever get to the point where you're telling the people you're apologizing to that they can go fuck themselves, I think you're doing it wrong. Like,
he also included in the list of diseases he's had, night fever. He also said, I can play any instrument except for the bagpipes. They sound bad to everyone.
But he gets accepted because apparently they're in anti-Paxson culture. There's a wet-headed, wide-bodied oaf who is called the king of the pigs.
That was a great bit of art that they had, like, rotating through, showing examples of it.
Those were all amazing. So I'm desperate to find... I know we talked to the production designer, so... I'm just curious how much of that they pulled and how much of that they custom designed.
Yeah.
I also want to know.
I could not tell the difference if any of those were actually, like, made for... I mean, obviously they make the ones, like, with them in it. Like, we should find out, actually, the new series intro with the guide. There's a painting of her as, like, you know how they have, like, the Nadja one that's the one in the Met or whatever? Mm-hmm. They have one of her that looks like it's a similar inspiration. So I wonder what the actual painting is. We should try and find that out.
Oh, I'll find that out. I'll write it down.
Yeah, Claire. Get to it.
Snap to it.
If it's in the Met, I'll go see it. I'll get a postcard like I do of the Nadja one.
Can you get a photo of you and it?
I will.
But we end the episode on Colin Robinson before the mid-credit scene. We end the episode on Colin Robinson. Evie breaks up with him and gives him back the necklace, saying, it must be some cheap metal, it gave me a rash. And he said, it's not even metal, which I think is really funny. But it's not really explained why Evie broke up with him. She was just like, oh, it's just like, it needs to happen or something. So,
well, she can't be comptroller and, like, continue her public life if the person that publicly, like, humiliated and shamed her.
My guy, 18 people voted.
Fair, okay.
I don't know if they're trying to set that up for another plot line or something. Just leave the door open, maybe. I'm not sure. But, I mean, I like her as the, like, one episode kind of character. It's nice.
Yeah, maybe, like, energy vampires can't have partners or something like that.
Just drain them.
Forbidden. Yeah. They have to remain celibate.
Maybe they'll just kill each other.
Well, they clearly do not have to remain celibate, Claire.
Yeah. Am I spitting? Am I hitting the spot, Colin Robinson?
Oh yeah!
Never gonna unsee that.
Oh
god. Can we talk about the mid-credit scene, or does anybody else want to talk about anything else?
You got it.
I have not seen the mid-credit scene, so this will be news.
Richie. Oh, we always got it. You always got to check for the mid-credit scene. He was watching it outside.
My neighbors are out.
Distracted by frogs on boots. So there's a mid-credit scene where Nandor and Guillermo have basically just, like, have a little movie date. And it's kind of cute. And Nandor tells Guillermo to be quiet, and Guillermo does a little smile.
It was really cute.
Just really wholesome. Yeah. Saw a lot of gifts of that scene on Twitter.
I think when I say it was really cute, I just think Guillermo was really cute in that scene where he was, like, just happy. Yeah. He, like, has his little popcorn. It's like,
just, like, hanging out.
Yeah.
Big fan. Also, what movie were they seeing? I was like, Fast and Furious.
Fast X. That's what I thought.
A lot of vehicle. Oh, God bless you, Matt. There were a lot of vehicle noises. I was like, yeah, this got me FX.
Streaming on Peacock soon.
We got about 4 minutes left. So, do we want to do our ratings?
Oh shit! Yeah, I forgot we have to do that. I'm not going to give a number this week.
Okay, fuck chicken. You then.
chicken. I'll do the straight rating, I guess, then. I would say it's a pretty straight episode. We kind of had, like, the Colin Robinson love scene, but then again, we also had Nandor circumcising his dick, so it'd be, like, his best friend, who he calls Twin. I'll give this
Island Boy
3 hours and 25 minutes of the total 5 hours and 20 minutes of the YouTube video of Colin Robinson's debate. With Barbara Lazzaro.
That's
a very good one.
If they
shout out the colonizers.
If they ever released, like, if he actually talked for 3 hours and they ever released that, I would watch that.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
I just realized there's a bad clip of me saying shout out the Colin.
Still live forever.
Shout out all Colin Robinson fans.
There we go.
Carlos, what's your rating?
I will go 1 out of 4 Brokeback Mountain quotes in this episode. For the gating, obviously. Yeah. Not a very gay episode. I mean, there was a little bit of circumcision, a little bit of penis exposure, but like, not consensual. It's not very gay.
Now to think about it, I'd say circumcision is maybe anti-gay.
Expand on that.
Explain.
Catholicism was really my thought behind that.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought you were about to mansplain to us something about gay male sex or something.
I was about to like gay-splain or something. Like
yeah. Straight-splain it.
Straight-splain.
Yeah. I think my rating for this episode, because of the mid-credit scene, is going to be 1 out of 2 of Colin Robinson's beautiful baby boys. Whatever their names are. Connor and Christopher.
Tell me why I thought you were going to say 1 out of 2 of Colin Robinson's balls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 1 out of 2 of Island Boys, which is also
this
how many
the
are
Island
gay.
Boys, yeah. This is the Island Boys episode,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
All right. We got anything else, or should I wrap it up? All right. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Brain Scramblies. We'll be back next week watching season 5, episode 5, whatever one that is. You can catch us on the social medias. We're at Scramblies_pod on X.
Oh, Jesus.
And mostly TikTok and Instagram, but also we're on X. Where I occasionally use that account to tweet about Good Omens as opposed to using my main account. Anyway.
Yeah.
More reach.
More
all
reach.
30 followers.
You can also email us for a shout out at the beginning of the show. Our email is brainscramblingspod@gmail.com. And I never say this, but you guys should leave us a review. If you like the show, you should leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever. It actually really helps people find the show.
It
gets recommended to more people. So drop us a little 5-star review. And that's it. We'll see you next week. Bye.